Dear Heavenly Father, you are incredible. You're awesome. Your love just blows circuits when we think of how much you love us. I just want to thank you, Father, that you have come and you have rescued us. Jesus, you went through the fire and you rescued us and you brought us into this high place. And you just didn't plop us there without equipping us. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for equipping us for this life. And we thank you for your word that equips us for life and great things. And today we have ears to hear and eyes to see, and our hearts are prepared to absorb, to give us understanding and revelation of the greatness you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If not, say it in faith. Amen. I'm in faith, man. That was a good prayer, Pastor. I'm in faith that's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some days you roll out of bed in faith, right? So, you know, hallelujah. Good to see all of you. We are in the midst, really close to the end, on a series where we're just talking about relationships, all kinds of relationships. And let me say, if you were not feeling well and you had to go to the doctor, you would go to the doctor and he would probably prescribe you something that you would hopefully get better with, right? You get better with. Well, I believe the Word of God has things in it that'll help you get better in relationships. So we've been talking about all kinds of goodies on how to do relationships better. Because sometimes you run into difficult people, but the Word of God has answers for you. So that's why we're doing this series on relationships. So the title of my message is Relational Baggage, or you can say baggage. Because everybody at some time in your life might just pick up some baggage. Has anybody ever picked up some baggage in life? Okay. Now, before I go on to this, I'm going to do a quick survey. I'm going to ask you some questions. Just raise your hand. Do not point to the person. Just raise your hand, all right? How many of you have ever broken a bone in life? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have ever gotten a knife wound? Oh, my God, I'm sitting next to some people like, whoa, I don't want to have to hear a story. How many of you have ever gotten shot with a gun? Now, yeah, usually they're boys and they're doing, we're going to take 10 steps and turn around and hit you with a BB gun. So I know some of those stories. Okay, but shot with a gun. How many of, this is serious, on a serious note, how many of you maybe been injured while you served in the military? Let's thank our military. And they're out there because we're sitting here. Yeah, amen. All right, last one. How many have ever gotten stitches in your life? How many have gotten more than 20? You don't even want to ask. All right. So the interesting thing, we've all gotten some injuries in our life, yeah? You've all gotten some injury in the life. Some of them are wounds. Some of them can be healed. Some of them leave scars, right? But really, most of them will heal up. They'll heal up like, if you got a broken bone, it'll heal up and you just kind of go on life. You can keep doing the things you used to do after a certain amount of time. But the very interesting thing is some injuries don't heal up. Some injuries don't heal up. And these are relational injuries. Okay, or you could say they really are the worst kinds to have. Relational injuries, they're the worst. And you know what? They have the potential to, if you don't deal with them, to stay with you and to stay with you and to stay with you. This will stay with you and stay with you, okay? So how many of you have gone through some relational injuries, wounds? Thank you for some people, okay? And or maybe you know somebody. Anybody know somebody that's walking around with a bucket load? Okay. So we're going to start with a story in Genesis chapter 11. Why don't you open up there? Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. Genesis 11, verse 27. Now, the story's about a man, and his name is Terah. And anybody know of this guy? You probably just breeze past him because he's only mentioned in about six verses. But Terah is the dad to Abraham. Everybody know Abraham? Well, Terah is Abraham's dad, okay? So here we go. Verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldees in the land of his birth. Okay, so we've got this guy, this dad, and his son dies. Now, probably the worst wound you can ever have is if you lose a child. If you have a child that dies, you know what I'm talking about. And I watched my parents when my brother died. It was a big emotional explosion in their life. So those are some wounds that we can have in life, and they're not fun. So you can have emotional wounds, you can have relational wounds, and they can turn into baggage. And you can carry them the rest of your life, and they can affect you the rest of your life. And we're going to talk about what to do with them. But let's continue on. Verse 31. Jump down to verse 31. Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson, Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, wife of his son, Abram. And together they set out. Everybody say, set out. That means they went traveling, okay? They set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Canaan is what would be Israel. And Canaan is where eventually you read about Abraham who went into the promised land of Canaan, okay? So where am I? Here we go. And they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And the last verse, Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. So here's Terah who takes his son and his daughter-in-law and his grandson, and they're going to go leave. They're going to go leave, and they're on their way to Canaan. And then they hit this town named Haran, and they settle there. Now, what's really interesting to me, because I was thinking on this, is that the name of the son that died was Haran, and the name of the town that they settled in is Haran, and they settle there. Okay? And it says, Terah, so wait a minute, back up. So his son died. This is an emotional thing. And they decide they're going to leave and go someplace else to Canaan, right? And his son dies. And they're leaving. And they get to this one town, the same name of the son, and they settle there. Matter of fact, you could say Terah got stuck there. And he was supposed to be going because it looked like God called them to leave, right? It looked like, you know, you can kind of read between the lines. God called them to leave. But they get to this town that's named after his son who passed away. And Terah gets stuck there. And it says, and he died there. So what's this have to do? You may be a person, or you maybe you know some people. They've had some emotional, you know, shake your world, wounds, hurts, and they get stuck there. They get stuck there, and they're stuck there due to wounds. Does anybody know anybody like that? I talk to them on the phone. I talk to people like that. So today's message is about baggage, and we're going to talk about some things that we got from this story, and we're going to talk about what happens when you get stuck with luggage, and then we're going to talk about how to get rid of it. So the first thing is what happens to you when you get, when you carry this stuff. All right, and then the good part, we'll end, always end on a good note, is how do we get rid of it? So, y'all know my luggage here. Now I'm going to tell something. I wrote this down on your sheet, and you can underline it. No one comes into the earth with any baggage. Did that baby pop out with a bunch of this? No. Okay. No, you actually, no one carries luggage into life when you're born. You are not born on this earth with a bunch of baggage, emotional wounds, relational stuff going on. No one, all right? But maybe you brought some of this. Margie says, what'd you bring today? Well, maybe you brought some baggage today, not my stuff. Maybe you came to church with some baggage today. And listen, you weren't born with this baggage, but you may have brought this baggage with you. And the second thing I wrote down there is you were not designed to carry baggage. You are not designed to carry issues of the past. God didn't make you able to carry stuff. All right. So let me tell you how it starts out. Now, probably not. First, let's say you're born into a family. Okay, we're going to call it the family origin because I talked about that last week. You're born into the family of origin, and let's say your dad is an alcoholic. And, you know, it's not a piece of cake living in a family like that. So you're born into this family. Let's say your dad's an alcoholic, or maybe your mom dies early, and, you know, you just end up with some baggage, okay? You end up with some baggage because you're born into this family. As time goes on, you get some luggage. And then let's say you go to elementary school. All right. School can be fun. And then maybe you're the chubby girl. The girl that's chubby and the tallest one in the whole class. And kids call you the green giant. And it wasn't a nice compliment on the size. Or maybe you're the kid that you just dress a little different than everybody else and you've got glasses and you're in third grade and they call you the geeky four-eyed person, right? So you're going to get some more baggage and you're only in third grade, all right? Okay, so then let's see. Okay, then you go to high school. You go to high school and you meet this girl. Oh, man, she's the one. And then she breaks up with you. All right? Just smushes your heart. And you get some more baggage, okay? Right? You get some baggage. So I got three pieces here. And then you go on in life and you do some stuff, not good stuff. You do some stuff that messes up your life. And then you get some more baggage. Okay, let's see how my coordination today. Okay. And you're going through life with a lot of luggage. Okay. All right. And then later on you grow up. Later on you grow up and you meet this guy or you meet this girl. And you know, the funny thing about that when you're dating, usually they don't really see all the luggage you have. It's amazing when you're dating. When they say only fools fall in love, love is blind, you're right? And you're on your best behavior. So really, probably you don't see all the luggage when you're dating this person. And sometimes they don't see it because they are just, I'm in love, all right? So you end up with luggage. Okay, now, let's suppose you got this luggage and you meet this girl and you get down on your knee and you go, oh, will you marry me? Ah. Well, there you got a problem. Right there you got a problem because you have a lot of baggage in your life, right? Oh, but I'm in love. Well, that's okay. We'll fix the luggage when we get married. I'll help him. Go through his luggage and we'll throw it out. Yeah, right. Okay, let's see if I can do this here. All right, let's see if I can do this. Okay. All right. So you're going to get married and you've got luggage. And of course, wait a minute. The girl you married has four more pieces of luggage too. So you've got your luggage and she's got your luggage, but we're going to get married because we are in love. So because you listened to my message last week and we talked about premarital counseling on how wonderful you should go. So you two go pull your luggage into the meeting with the pastor or the counselor and they give you a survey, you know, one of those personality surveys. So you find out stuff and as they get to know you, they go, you know, after meeting with you a couple of times, we really think you guys have a lot of issues. And you should wait and work on these issues and get rid of some of them. Now, Jack and I, when we were in love, we were in love. We were always in love. Yeah, right. I'm going to tell a story, and I love you. Okay, let me tell you a story. So we go to Jack's mom and dad and ask them if we can get married because we are in love. We want to get married. We've only been dating 6 months or less, you know. So Phil, of course. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Now, mom says, no. Now, right then, I really wanted to punch her lights out. But 4 years later, I wanted to kiss her and say, why didn't you rip the hair out of my head? Because no one wants to hear that, but the lady was right. Good thing we waited about 4 years to have kids, because we both walked in, and she knew Jack's luggage. I didn't even see his luggage. I said, love, all right? And she was getting to know with me. She probably said, some girls got luggage too, all right? So, you still love me? I love you. So the truth of the matter is, if you don't get rid of this luggage, it starts to multiply. It starts, because now we have his and hers matching sets. If you don't, the blue set and the red set, okay, so it starts to multiply, all right? And then you're going to have kids. Oh, babies, they're so cute. But those kids grow up, and then you start getting more luggage and more luggage. And pretty soon, it's unbearable, okay? It's not good. And you know what happens? This all this luggage, if I was put it actually kind of hinders the way you walk through life. This is hard, dragging all of this, especially if you fill this one with shoes. Okay? Luggage, baggage, issues, relational wounds hinder the plans God has destined for you. Okay, so let me get out of this for a second here. All right. Now, you know, if I leave that there, I'm going to knock it over. All righty. So, this is what can happen to people with all their luggage. So now you start coming to church and you have some luggage, because really everybody's got a little bit. All right. You start coming to church. And do you know what happens when you come to church? This stuff doesn't go poof and disappear. Because just because you know Jesus and you've got luggage and you walk through those doors, it doesn't go poof. It doesn't disappear. Okay? So you accept Jesus and you're all excited. Oh my gosh, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. He's forgiven me of all my mess. Okay? But for a while there, you feel really good, because what happens is you suppress. You push down all the luggage. All the luggage for a while there. And usually I have a spouse that comes up to me after a while and they go, you know, he was really doing good for a while. But then, you know why? Because really what happened is you kind of suppress it. You push it. You kind of, stick it here. Okay? So the luggage is still with you, whether you're born again or not born again. The luggage is with you because we go through life, right? We go through life and somehow we get into some luggage. Okay, you know what some other Christians do? Of course not us, but some Christians will say, well, I only have 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces of luggage, but oh my gosh, she's got 25 pieces of luggage. So, you know, obviously I am doing really good. Matter of fact, I really feel good because I only have 5 and she's got 25 pieces of luggage. And what we start doing is comparing, and we never take care of our luggage because, you know, listen, I'm doing good. I only have 5. All right. So no. You have baggage. And really, if you've got all of this baggage, you're not in a good place. You're not in the place God wants you to get to if you have all of this. Okay. Now, this is what some churches have done in the past. They say, okay, so you're coming to church. You're kind of new and you're coming and you go, I love this one. Pastor D, can I help serve at YCF? And some churches have said, not YCF, some churches have said, oh no, you have luggage. You're in a bad place. You just need to go sit. Okay? And you're going, why? Because you have luggage. You're in a bad place. You need to go sit. But really, don't you think if I came in with my luggage and I started helping with people, doing life with people, it could help me get better and not worse? So we believe at YCF, you come, we'll throw you in. We'll do life with you. We'll help you unpack some of these. Yeah. All right. And really, we're humans. We're not perfect. Church people are not perfect. right? Okay, no one's perfect. And most likely everybody's got a little bit of baggage, if not a lot, okay? And God wants us to help one another. God wants to help you, and then he wants you to help other people. And you know why? So I used to have 25 pieces of luggage. I'm only down to 2. And I watch you walk in and, oh my gosh, you unhaul the U-Haul to come in here. And I see you and I recognize the luggage right away. Man, that person, you just spend one day with them. You go, whoa, they got luggage. But you see, I have a story. And I recognize your luggage because I used to have all that luggage. And I go, hey, come on over here. Sit with me. Come for dinner. Let's come to my Bible study. And I start telling them, listen, I used to have all that luggage just like you. But God helped me through my luggage. And people helped me through luggage. And he strengthened me. And the word of God changed me. So now I have a story. So I'm not condemning you, I'm not judging you, and I'm certainly not better than you. So that's why at YCF we go, hey, bring your luggage in, baby. We'll help you. Amen. So instead of saying, oh my gosh, you have luggage, okay? So you can understand why people don't want to come to churches. If they're judgmental and critical and kind of go, you're a mess. Listen, a person who's got 25 pieces of luggage, guess what? They know they're a mess. They know they got issues. All right? And what they're really wanting, deep down, would you just help me? Help me unload some of this luggage. But you don't have to go tell people, oh my gosh, you're pathetic. You've got 25 pieces of luggage. That's not helping anybody. Okay. So what they really want you to do, really, so I come in with my 25, and you only have 2. Bob only has 2. Bob's going to see me, and he's going, I can help you detach and check the bags. So next story. January, Sherry and I flew to Fort Worth, Texas, to go to the minister's conference, and it is my highlight of the whole year. One, I get to walk in, sit down, and do nothing. Oh, my gosh. And I have assigned seats. I love it. So we went on this trip, and let me show you what I pack. Unfortunately, we were flying a particular airline, okay, I'm not going to mention them. Don't fly them. But normally though it happens, this is what I pack. I pack this one, and then I pack this one. Okay. Oh, geez. Okay, and, my purse. And now if I'm taking my laptop, I'll take this one. But this past trip, I didn't take my laptop, so I take this one. And I always have a minimum of 3 books that I think I'm going to read on the airplane, okay? And of course, you know what I keep in here, everything under the moon. All right, so this is me. Golly, gee whiz, how am I going to do this? As I walk through the airport, okay? This is me. Whoops. Okay. And then I get to the check-in, and I hand them my license, and they give me my boarding pass if I haven't printed out. And then I do this. Okay, this is going to fall. And then I go, see you later. And I go walk through the rest of the airport. I go get a coffee. I go get something I shouldn't be eating. And then they finally call me. And I sit down. And I put this on the floor. And I keep thinking I'm going to put this in the bin, but I always put this on the floor. All right. You know why? You know what just happened? I check in my bags so that it's light, I'm hassle-free, and I can go the rest of my journey until they catch up with my luggage later, okay? Isn't that much better? All right, this is my message. I believe God wants to have you. I know he does. I know God wants you to check your bags because some of you are carrying stuff, or you know people that are carrying stuff, and you are not going to go and enjoy life until you start checking some of this. So the message is, how do we check bags, okay? Praise God. You all have this. I'm going to go over three things from that story, and we're going to see what happens, the negative things that happen if you walk through life with all this luggage, with all this baggage, with all these issues, with all this hurts and wounds. We're going to talk about what is negative, okay, about this. Number one, let me read the scripture. It's in Psalm 73, verse 21. Psalm 73, verse 21. We're going to look at what relational baggage, wounds, issues will do to your life. Number one, it keeps you from your potential. Psalm 73. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. Let me read that one again. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered. You know what that means? I got some wounds going on, all right? And so when my heart got wounded, I was senseless and ignorant. What a compliment, right? Gee whiz. All right. So these bags represent wounds that have happened, right? Now, how many of you know if you have all of these bags in your life, you are not going to be in the place that God wants you? If you are carrying this is, you know, you're struggling and God wants you all the way down there, but you're trying to drag this, you are not going to be. You're not going to be. I'm telling you, you are not going to be where God wants you. Actually, it's not pretty. It's really not pretty walking through the airport, all right? It's not pretty. Have you ever seen somebody in the airport? And my God bless them. Especially, it looks like they're moving overseas, and they probably have all of this. And they've got them on one of those trolley carts, and the things are falling off, and they're trying to pull this thing. That's not pretty. Walking through life with your issues is not pretty. Right? Everybody say, not pretty. The reason why is you weren't designed to carry 25 pieces of baggage. You were not. God did not design you to carry that stuff. So some people say, well, Pastor D, that's just the way my life is. You know, I have to keep all those. No, no, that's not where you're supposed to be, keeping all that stuff. So now let me tell you this truth. Anytime you get a piece of baggage, because somebody hurt you, somebody disappointed you, somebody really, I was going to say a word, did it to you, okay? It really is the enemy who's come to steal, kill, destroy. And the enemy has done this so that you cannot get to the good plans God has for you, okay? So it's the enemy. And he sees where you're supposed to go, and he wants to stop your potential in God. He's really good. So if you're wounded, guess what? You cannot get to the great life and all the great things God has for you because you're trying to carry all of this. Okay? Oh my gosh. All right? You cannot get there. So number two, what does baggage do to you? It pollutes our relationships with others. Number two, it pollutes our relationships with others. The people that you're supposed to love most in life, your family, your mom, your dad, could even be your spouse, grandparents, relatives, the people that you're supposed to love the most and enjoy life with, if you're carrying all this baggage, it pollutes those relationships, okay? Such as, it's Christmas. And the whole family's going to get together. Uncle Ralph is coming. Oh, my God. You know, it is such a pain in the shoe with Uncle Ralph. It's like you're walking on eggshells. He's a mess. I never know what to say. I never know what he's going to do. Okay, so Uncle Ralph has got some baggage. And when you're a family, it's not supposed to be like that. So baggage first and probably the most gets really polluted when you try to carry this all through your family. Okay. Number three, holding bags harms your relationship with God. This is probably the worst. Holding on to this just can really harm your relationship with God. So if you turn over to Mark 11, holding this baggage can harm our relationship with God. What do you mean, Pastor D? Well, look at Mark 11. Here we go. Mark 11, verse 25. This is Jesus speaking. Okay? And he says, when you stand praying, first, forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against. Sounds like you might have some baggage. So when you stand praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So Jesus is saying, don't come to me first until you get rid of this. Then come on in. So he's really saying is you need to detach from this first and then come on in. Come on in. I got a place here. I got great things here for you. So having baggage can actually harm our relationship with God. Now, how many of you have ever heard this saying? Matter of fact, I was talking to, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. My old college friend called me up yesterday. Oh my gosh, had a blast. And somewhere in the conversation, she said this, oh, well, you know, time heals all wounds. Anybody ever hear that? Father of time just heals it all up, right? Okay, so there's a yes to that and a no to that. Yes, if you have a broken bone and they set it right, okay, pretty soon it'll heal, right? It'll heal and then you can go on with life. So time heals wounds. Time heals stitches. But let me tell you this, and you should write this down. Time does not heal emotional baggage, relational hurts. It does not. Matter of fact, time will make it worse. Somebody's shaking their head. Okay. Time will make this stuff worse. What do you mean, Pastor D? Well, you know why? Because you've got time to think about it. And you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it. So time doesn't heal this stuff. Time just makes it worse. All right? So let's say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You've got a few bags. And let's say the big issue in your life is your mom. All right? And your mom is your issue. My mom. All right? And let's say so you're a believer, and it's your mom. Looking over there. Okay. So your mom is not a Christian, and you are, and she decides to come to church on Easter Sunday morning. She walks in, and Pastor D, at the end of the message, gives, hey, you know, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to have just this great life with the Lord, and you turn from your sins, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and she raises her hand to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I said, well, come on up front, and she starts walking up front, and you're praying, oh, dear God, please don't let her come to my church. In Jesus' name, amen. Time did not heal your baggage with your mom. You haven't talked to her in 15 years and you thought, and then you saw her. Oh my gosh, that woman, do you know what she's done in my life? Time didn't heal the wound, okay? Now, it may have been a long time since you talked to her or you saw her, okay, but as soon as she walked in, it just brought this stuff up that you'd pushed down, okay? Somebody's laughing over there. I'm not even going to ask, all right? So, all these are negative things can happen to you. Let's close up with all the good things, okay? Let's close up with the good things, okay? Because how many of you want to get rid of some of your baggage? How many of you are just tired? It's just a pain in the butt. Plus, you have to rent something big to drag it around, okay? So, I'm going to give you 4 points on how to get rid of the bags. Turn over to Psalm 147. This is going to be like the scripture that goes with relational baggage. Psalm 147. This is it. Put it on your mirror and just look at it and look at it and look at it and say it and look at it and say it, all right? Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Can you say that? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know what that tells me? He is who? God does what? heals. So that tells me God wants to heal your broken heart and your wounds. That's a great scripture. God wants to. He doesn't want you walking around with this. Your heavenly Father loves you so much, He wants to heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. All right? So, number one, if you want to get rid of the bags, you have to reveal the hurt. You know, some people are like, and they're trying to hide it. You're not hiding it. And actually, it actually hurts you. And it hurts these relationships. So the first thing you have to do is you have to reveal it. What do I mean like that? You need to tell somebody. Now, I'll tell you from experience, you don't have to tell the person who done did it. And if I could tell you how many people, what came up to me the first couple years after Pastor Jack went home to be with Jesus, Pastor D, I need to ask you something. What? I was mad at Pastor Jack. I was carrying luggage. Would you forgive me? I go, he's gone. I don't have anything to do with this. Okay? All right. So sometimes you can't go to the person, and other times it's not a good time. It's not a good thing to go to the person because they're in a bad place. So I'm not talking about reveal it that way. This is what I'm going to talk to. So here at YCF, we do groups. We do grow groups. Now, right now, you are all sitting in rows. I like you sitting in rows on Sunday. I'd like to see more people sitting on rows on Sunday. It's really good. But at YCF, one of our vision is to grow in groups. So in a group, you do it in a... And you know what happens in that circle? I love my grow group. I have a grow group on Tuesday night. We're wrapping up, and then we're going to do something else. But we sit around, and we talk together. All right? And somebody in my group periodically would say, oh, I just want to praise God. I had this problem, and God just really revealed it to me, told me where I was messing up or this was happening. I forgave that person, and, you know, now I'm just doing great. So I'm in this group in a circle, and this person's telling me this, and I think, oh, my gosh, they have the same baggage that I did. Because you know what? You are not unique to problems. Oh, Pastor D, it's just me, poor me. You don't know what I've been through. Listen, I'll find somebody who's been through what you've been through. All right? So you just need to get into a group, reveal it in a group, and you don't walk in the door the first day and say, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Just, you know, get to know people, and then what's going to happen is as you reveal it in the group and they love you, they're going to pray with you, they're going to give you God's word on it, and they're going to encourage you, and they're going to hold your hands up, and they'll help you walk through it. So you need to reveal it. Now, I usually hear, well, you know, guys don't like to reveal their problems. Talk. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. I have a problem. How you doing? I have a problem. Okay. Listen, you need to talk. Now, it's a given. Guys, who do we talk to first about it? I always go to the Lord first. But He put people on the planet so you do life together, okay? And sometimes you need somebody to grab your butt and catch you going, all right? And God's just praying, all right, from up there. So, okay, so you need to reveal it, okay? And half the battle is when you tell somebody. I'm telling you, half the battle. Because as soon as you stop doing this, and you tell somebody, okay, you're through half the battle. Half the battle, okay? So let's see, number two. Oh, let me say this one. Several weeks ago, Derek, your daughter's little friend, committed suicide. I tell you, I cry because she should have called. And if I would have gotten the phone call, Pastor D, I have these thoughts. But someone didn't talk. So, and I remember the first suicide that I was in high school, and it was a kid in my homeroom. And actually, we'd been through elementary school to high school. And I come to school, and he had committed suicide. That should not be. We need to reveal things. Oh, I can't tell them. What do they think? Who gets a flying flip? Okay? Reveal. Talk to someone. And you know, counseling has gotten a big poo-poo the last couple decades because we're word of faith people. We don't need that stuff. I would love to have prayed for rehab for me. 30 days away from four kids and a husband back in the day. Send me to rehab where I get some counseling. There's nothing matter with that, especially if they're spirit-filled counselors. I know, Jack went to rehab, and I was ticked that I didn't get to go to one. I was like, are you kidding me? You got a 30-day vacation. I want one. Okay. Counseling is good. If you need it, go get it. Go get some good counseling. I've got some good counselors and agencies in here. But if you've been hiding this and it's just wrecking, your relationships, all this stuff, go, okay? Said all that to get to number two. Ready? Number two, release the people involved. Really? Yes, you have to release the people involved, the people that just abused you, did the terrible to you, disappointed you. You have to release them. You have to release them. Matthew 18:21. You all know this one. Here we go. Matthew 18:21. Peter comes up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus. I just love Peter. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Okay, and Jesus. No, I do not say. I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times 7. For those of you who are not good at math, that's 490 times. Jesus is saying you are to forgive 490 times in one day. All right. So, on an average. You know, the average across the world is you sleep 8 hours a day, right? 8 hours a day, some days. 8 hours a day, and you subtract that, and Jesus said you're to forgive how many? 490 times in one day. So somebody did the math for me, because I told them to do this. I was like, that means every 2 minutes, you have to forgive them. Every 2 minutes, Jesus said, forgive them 490 times in one day. So if you average out, that's every 2 minutes. Now, how many of you really think there's someone in your life that you have to forgive 490 times in one day? Are you serious? I don't think so. How many of you have a spouse, not looking at anybody, and you have to forgive them 490 times in one day? Don't raise your hand. Okay, listen, Jesus said this. Jesus, who loves you and knows what's good for your life, said you need to forgive 490 times in one day. And you know why? Because Father God, who has forgiven us our past, our present, and future, who forgives our sins, unlimitlessness tells you, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. Okay, number three on a happy note. Here we go. Refocus on God's plan for your life. Refocus. That's number three. Refocus on God's plan for your life. So more than likely, if you are carrying all of this and this and this and this, you are not where you're supposed to be. And you know what I find out about people that are carrying all of this? They are only focused on themselves. They are only focused on me, 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 me. I have this problem. This happened to me. You don't know what's happened in my life. It's me, me, me. So we need to refocus, get off of this stuff, and focus on God's plans. Okay? So, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through in my life. Me, right? Pastor, you'd never tell me to bring somebody to church on Easter Sunday. Me. Pastor, what are you, crazy? You don't know what's going on in my life. Me. Okay, you get this? This is all about me. This is all about me. And you know what? Life is not all about me. God puts you on this planet with his purposes and his calls, and he has things for you to do for him. Did I say me? No, I said him. God loves you, and he has purposed plans for you to do for him. And I don't care if you're 6 years old or 70 years old, God has plans for you to do. And when you're carrying all this, you are focused all on you. Does anybody know Dodie Osteen? Everybody know Joel Osteen? Joel's mom is Dodie. And years ago, gosh, probably 30 years ago, she was diagnosed with a horrendous cancer. The report is, hi, you're going to die. And she had a couple of days. And also, one son was a physician. And she had gotten the report. By the way, she's got a little mini book in our bookstore. It's called Healed of Cancer by Dodie Osteen. So they came in, gave her the report. Her son, who was a doctor, was there. And then he left the room, and she could hear him wailing down the hallway. It was that bad. And so she had a little while where, poor me. And God arrested her. And he says, I want you to get your focus on my plans. You know what she'd do? She'd get dressed up every morning. She'd go to somebody's house who she knew had something the same or worse, and she'd go pray for them. Guess what she did? She refocused. By the way, she's alive. She refocused me to the plans God had for her life. And people were getting healed when she would pray for them. All right? So you need to refocus, get off the me to the plans God has for you. Last one. How do I unhook? How do I unhook from this luggage? Okay? Ready? You make a decision. So I was talking to my friend Patty, and we haven't gotten together in about 20 years, but we were talking, and she said, oh, Dee, you're incredible. I said, heck no, not incredible. But, you know, she said, I can't believe what you're doing. You're pastoring. I said, oh, heck no, it's incredible. I said, no. I decided I would detach from my luggage, and I would go to the plans of God. I made a decision, and this is what I tell everybody all the time. I decided there was no back door. And you could only go forward. In my life, and listen, you could make a movie about me and all the people in my life who've done dirty, died, shot, and all that great stuff. And I could be this person. And actually, all of you could be this person carrying this luggage. And I made a decision that I was going to let go of that and go forward. There's no back doors forward. So last scripture, Philippians 3. Now, y'all know this one, but I want you to hear it this time. Philippians 3:13. Everybody say, I make a decision to let go of the bags. Amen. I make a decision. Philippians 3. Dear brothers and sisters, guess who he's talking to? He's talking to believers. Okay? So he says, dear brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold. I didn't arrive. Okay. I haven't gotten there yet. And then he says, but one thing I do. Everybody say, but one thing. Come on. One thing. Okay. One thing I do. Forgetting what's behind me, right? Forgetting what's behind me and straining. So I love those, we have technology, so they got the camera guy on the person, they're running the relays, and there's like five guys running, and at the very end, you'll see these runners. I mean, they're literally stretching their body. They are straining because you are neck and neck, and if they can just get a nose ahead of you, they're going to win. That's how you decide, I am going to strain to go forward. Because you know what? This stuff will wear you out. This luggage, the issues, the things that you listen, I am not putting down or thinking, you know, that what happened to your life is not a horrific thing. So people sitting here, you have had horrific things happen to your life. But if you carry this, it'll wear you out, and life is not fun. So when you've got to just wake up one day and say, whoops, not that. Wake up one day and say, that's it. I'm good. And that's what Paul is saying. I forgive. And then I'm going to forget. I'm going to let it go, and I am going to strain, and push forward to all the great plans God has for me. God has called me to be His child. God has made me one of His. God has given me access, and He's given me a hope and a future. My God says I'm the head and not the tail. I'm going to press to that, right? Or else you're going to walk through life. First thing you're going to tell everybody is, oh, let me tell you about all the luggage I carry today. It's so terrible. It's so hard. All right? All right, I'm going to say this. No, I'm not. Oh, we're trying to say this. Okay. I'm going to say it and I'll apologize later. Here we go. So people always say, Pastor D, we go to grief counseling. I probably should lead the group on grief counseling. I've had mother, father, sisters, and brothers, and da-da-da-da-da, all that die. Okay, well, Pastor D, I go to this grief counseling. I said, well, great. How's it going? Oh, Pastor D, we just cry together. All right, let go of that baggage. Go find another group, okay? So there are good counselings, but I have a little hard time when everybody says, oh, I'm going to the grief counseling, and they say they come in with the bags, and then they leave with the bags. They come in with the bags. It's okay to come in with the bags. And by the way, you can come in with the bags today, guys. Come in with the bags, but then leave the bags. Don't pick them up tomorrow, next week, when you see that person. You go, no, I made a decision. I left the bags. Now that's good counseling. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father God, you're incredible that you bring light. You bring light to our path. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you have brought light for our lives, and maybe for the people you've placed in our life, that we could tell them that they were not born to carry luggage and issues and hurts, Father. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, right now, if there's anybody here and then you've seen, oh my gosh, that hurt that I've been carrying, I don't want to carry it. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the healer of the brokenhearted. You mend their wounds. And we declare they're healed and whole. 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 You might have to say, I'm healed and whole. Today, I'm healed and whole. Today, I leave my luggage behind in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your mighty work. It was finished on the cross, and you rose and you sat down and you said, they're healed, body, soul, and spirit. And we declare that over these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. If anybody wants to load up my car this afternoon, you can help me out. No, but let me just pray. Father God, I thank you for these people. I thank you they're your people. And I've had the honor and privilege, Father, to love them. But I thank you, you have declared them to be the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Not with luggage, but free in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next Sunday's Communion Fellowship, Todd Levin the next week. And